morning Chamidim. As we spoke before Shabbos, these weeks are a build-up. Shemini, what goes into your mouth, what comes out of our mouth, to continues building up towards becoming elevated people, becoming heiliger people, kedushaliger people. And that brings us to this week's parsha, Achrei Mois Kedoshim, that continues taking the person, the human being, and putting him on a pedestal, connecting him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing out the Kedusha, and focusing on the Kedusha that we have. Similarly, weeks of Svira, we also work on, we focus on the Ben Adam HaChaveroi. In addition to the Ben Adam HaChaveroi, we work on our Midos. We say after Svira, there's different Midos, every the seven Midos that we work on. Those that say after Svira, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and after we lay the Svira and the Siddur, there is seven Midos that you can see every week. We change the Midah to the next Midah. We start off with Chesed, Gvura, Feres, Netzach. Did anyone see these words when you say Svir? It's good to look into the Siddur when you say Svir right afterwards. Right after Svir, can I take a Svir? Right after you say Amir, the first day is Chesed, Shabbat Chesed. Right after the Svir, it says right on bottom Chesed, Shabbat Chesed, Gvura, Shabbat Chesed. Last night we counted Gvura Sheba Netzach. Gvura means strength. Netzach, I want to discuss what the word Netzach means. But it's a very similar approach to the build-up of Shemini, Sazriya Mitzorah, Achrim Mois Kedoshim, are the different midas that we focus on. The mid of this week is the mid of Netzach. Netzach has two meanings. One meaning of Netzach is victory. We were Menatzeach. We won. There was a battle. There is a battle. There's a constant battle that we are every second of the day. And Netzach is winning. And then Netzach also means Nitzchias. Nitzchias means eternal. Nitzchias means forever. Those that are part of a battle, you fight a battle, you win the battle, you win the battle, there's a certain level of feeling, of good feeling, and it's a forever feeling, a feeling of accomplishment. Someone that was able to overcome the battle, there is that feeling of a nitzchis to get hana that a person has because I overcame the battle, I was able to win. So to connect the two concepts of working on ourselves, purifying ourselves, what comes into our mouth, what goes out of our mouth, and bringing us to the next level of a kadosh, of achim mois kadosh, of being heiliger people, to the level of netzach, where we have to remember continuously that we're always in a battle. And the more we fight, the more we understand the purpose of what our fight is. We have to think. It takes a lot of machshava. It takes a lot of thought. We have to think of the battle that we're at right now. Most times people don't think. So we do, okay, we did, we said, we didn't. It doesn't come with a lot of thought. But if someone is focused on something, then he's always thinking. I heard one of my chaverim give a speech. His name is Rabbi Aaron Grossman. He speaks a lot about machshava. And one of the things he was saying was that if someone is someone's fighting a war, and he's in the front lines, and he's taking in, and he's looking out for the enemy, and he's with a rifle, and someone walks over to him and says, are you enjoying yourself? Is this fun? Are you like it? The soldier will ask him, get out of here right now. I can't lose focus. I'm looking for the enemy. If you stay here another minute, you may get shot. Now, after the war was over, and you walk over to the person, you ask him, so how was it? It was so intense. It was so cavalric. We won that war. We fought. The same person, 1 minute, he's like, get out of here. I can't even think. I can't even talk to you. And a bit later, after they won the war, wow, this was amazing. This was great. We beat them. What happened? Since he was able to focus on what he was doing, he was able to understand that now he's in the middle of a nitzachon, and he's in the middle of winning a war. He's in the middle of a battle. He focused, and he was able to accomplish. Then afterwards, the nitzchias afterwards is, wow, we accomplished. We did something good. We have to continuously think about that same musik. We're in the middle of a battle. You're in the classroom, you're in a battle. You're dealing with your friends, you're in a battle. It doesn't have to be a fight. But you have to understand, there's the Yetzer Hara again, there's the Yetzer Tov. What are we going to do? Are we going to make the right choices or are we going to make the wrong choices? The more we make the right choices, the more Hanoah we have of ourselves, the more good feeling we have, because we understand that we won. There's a Netzachon. And that feeling stays forever. The person will forget the sandwich that he ate after the war. He won, he'll forget what he ate right afterwards. That's not that he's not going to remember. It wasn't much of a battle to figure out what he's going to eat. Is it going to be a steak sandwich? Is it going to be sushi? Is it going to be... He's not going to remember what he ate afterwards. But he will remember the details of the battle. He will remember how much this was an issue and that was an issue and I overcame that. And the details of the machshava, the thought that went in and the risk that he was in and the way he was able to win it, that I'll always remember. If we focus our lives on the parshiyos and on the concept of battle, we reach a level, as we said, that we're on a much greater level, we're on a higher level, we're on the next level. I was trying to talk about Kiddush, it's very hard to understand the concept, like the Manal said last time. There's some certain concepts that are abstract, that we don't have, it's not concrete, it's not something that we can see, it's not something that we can relate to, it's not something that we can understand, we have to envision it. The concept of Kedusha is an abstract concept. It's not tangible. You can feel it. Someone that's Halak feels that he's on elevated Madrega. But it's not something that we can see. It's not a diploma that you reach. You get a big plaque that says, I'm a Kaddish, I'm Halak. So how do you define, how do you bring it down to a level that we, Talmidim, should be able to understand? Even adults should be able to understand the concept of Kedusha. So, a mushel came to mind, and I hope that we could try to bring that out. You know that in yeshiva, one of the forms of communication, the administration, the maintenance, we have to communicate. One of the ways that we communicate is through a radio. Right? So, different staff members have one of these radios, you press a button, and you can talk in, and whoever has the other radio can hear it, we could communicate. Usually these radios are not meant to ask security, how are you feeling today? How's your day today? We missed you. You were away for a few weeks. How's your mother feeling? Or maintenance, how's it going, coming along? Do you have enough? These type of conversations are usually not had on the radio. A phone call or in-person conversation, you can have these type of conversations. The radios are usually used for important things to discuss. There's a spill here, we got to cover it. There's an administrator that's needed here. There's a maintenance, something that's needed. There's towel paper, we're out of tissue paper, out of towel paper, we're out of... These are the type of quick messages that have to go, that go usually through this radio. Now, in the stores, many of us received when we were kids, Afikoman presents. You also get walkie-talkies. The walkie-talkies look similar to this. Also, kids talk. Some have two, some have four, some have eight, you can have even 12 kids on the block, and they can talk while they're bike riding, they can talk on the walkie-talkie. It's a form of communication, and it's a toy, it's a lot of fun talking on the walkie-talkies. What's the difference between the walkie-talkies and these radios? A simple difference. They run on different frequencies, which means the walkie-talkies can talk maybe 5 miles, it says up to 5 miles, some maybe up to 10 miles. But if there's a building in the middle of the way, you can't really hear each other. Yeah, it goes. It's a kid thing. It costs a few dollars. It's not an expensive thing. It costs a few dollars. No. These radios are more expensive. It costs a few hundred dollars. And they work on, there's an antenna on top of one of the buildings. And it could work from one side of Chicago. I mean, they work on a higher frequency. The higher the frequency is, the more you can hear, the more you can connect to it. There's another level of these type of walkie-talkies, radios, and that's the ones that Hatzolah members have. The Hatzolah members, for them, this is a similar toy to what to us the walkie-talkies are. The Hatzolah members, they have, there's a HIPAA license, and no one should be able to tap into it, and maybe some hackers that could, but SM, the Hatzolah radio, I can't connect to Hatzolah radio. So whatever they're discussing, you know, sometimes there are scanners that could scan, that could look. Okay, we're not discussing that, but SM, the type of frequency that Hatzolah radios use, EMTs, etc., the police department, the type of frequency that their radios use is much higher frequency. And then there's another level, the military. The military also use a form of communication. They communicate, and their frequencies are so high that the Hatzalah radios can't hear it. Our radios for sure not. The walkie-talkies definitely not. The higher up you are in the position, whatever it is, the greater the frequency is, the more secretive the conversation and the communication is. Rabbi, us as Yidden, that we're so focused on being able to purify ourselves. We care for what we eat. We care for what we say. We care for how we live our life. We are raised to the highest level of frequency, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our frequency of connection to Kedusha, which is ultimately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is even greater. It puts the military frequency as a toy. When we work on ourselves, when we work on our midis, and when we understand that we're constantly and continuously in a battle, a Netzach battle, we have to overcome this. We have to be careful. We have to make sure that we're making the right choices. We have to understand that we're living so that our frequency is the highest level, and we have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are the highest Kedusha of the people, that our entire life is a different lifestyle. And you think you have to do very difficult things to reach that level of Kedusha. You look into this parsha, it is simple things. Simple things, it's the machshava that counts. It's the thought that counts. You look in parsha's Kedoshim. Now we're ready. Kedoshim tiyu ki kodesh anu. Ki kodesh ani Hashem elkeichem. You should be halik because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is halik. So what do you have to do? What's the next pasuk? Ish imoy v'ovav tiroi. You should fear your parents. You should be respectful of your parents. You should have derech eretz. You could think that we're talking about halakhic frequency, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we shouldn't eat. Maybe we should fast for months. Maybe we should do gilgul shelach. We should roll in snow. Maybe we should... No! We're not talking about any difficult things to do. A simple thing. Ish imoy v'ovav tiro. But the next thing, v'shapsoy sai tishmoyru. You should keep my Shabbos. Just as careful as you are to keep Shabbos, you should be careful. Ish ibavim oiteroi. And ask the rabbis to me the chachamim, and ask your rabbeim, and ask your teachers, and everyone else that's included in that. As careful as you are not to be chal Shabbos chas v'shalom, not to touch mukta, not to. So careful you should be with the derech eretz of your parents and your rabbeim. So too. So we're not talking about very difficult things. We're talking about regular things. And the pasuk, yes, this Kabbalah, the pasuk talks about as well. Normal things that you wouldn't do, but not machaveroi, you should be careful. The difference is that we live with that. The machshav is in our mind all the time. The machshav is that we're always in a battle, and we're always going to try to win that battle, because that creates that nitzchias, that everlasting connection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's through the machshava, what the thought that we put into it. I heard a story from this Rabbi Grossman. He was giving a speech, and he says, again, just the sensitivity of being sensitive to other people. He says there was a person who was taking a course. And the course, the beginning of the course, you have to write down who is your role model. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? This was for youngsters. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? So this person, he was thinking, and he said, you know what, the son that I know, Davin's an Arshul, this is the type of guy that I want to be like. So he wrote down his name. 6 weeks into the course, they developed different techniques, so they had to write again. Who do you want to be like? And this time you had to write a reason why. So many people changed after taking the course. They changed the name of the person that they put up. This person put the same person's name. But then he had to write why. What is it about that person that he's my role model? He's the one that I want to be like. And he couldn't figure it out. He's thinking, and he told his the instructor, I can't think of it. He said, listen, if you're putting down the person's name, it's the second time already, you're putting down the same person, you got to figure out why. So he says, you know what? Let me go ask the person. He meets the person in shul the other day. He says, listen, down who is my role model. For some reason, you came to mind. I wrote down your name, but I have to give a reason why. And I just don't, it's a feeling that I have. So the person started laughing. He says, it's funny. I don't know why I'm your role model, but I have to tell you the chizik that I just got from this question that you just asked me. So the person says, he's an older person, 65, right? He says, when I was a bacher, I did not control my mouth. I was the cool kid. I told everybody off. I made jokes about everybody. I was the one that had an insult for everyone, like to hit them right in the spot. I was Mr. Macho, Mr. Big Guy. Everyone was afraid of me. I was a geschmacky guy, and I knew all the hack, and I knew all the, and I knew what to say to who to say, when to say. I was Mr. Geschmackster, but didn't necessarily care about other people's feelings. It says that a few years ago, someone came over to me, and he tells him that this person that came over said that his father's very ill. His father's on his deathbed. And the kids were talking to him, and they were telling him, nope, any message that you want to give us over, anything, adracha before. So the father gave over adracha to his kids and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And he says, before he passes, that there's one person that he can't be meichel. There's one person living today that he can't be meichel, not bezeh and not bebo. Not in this world, not in the world to come, can't be a meichel. What did he do to you? I don't want to go into it. Just make sure that you're always careful with how you talk to other people. So one of the grandchildren came running over to the person and said, I don't know what you did to my grandfather, but he's not in a good place right now. He's up to passing. And he mentioned your name, that he's not, he can't be you, Michael, not Bezer, not Babo. So I said, really? I don't remember. I remember vaguely, but I don't remember ever interacting with him. So he ran to the hospital to have a conversation with him. So the person dying tells him, you don't remember me? Let me remind you who I am. He says, you were a bachur in yeshiva. You were a 16-year-old bachur in yeshiva. I, by trade, was a plumber. Took care of bathrooms, toilets that weren't working. Your yeshiva called me an hour before this man that the toilet in the yeshiva is not working, if I can come fix the toilet. I said, no, I feel terrible. I have to make Shabbos. My kids and my own family is waiting for me. And I can't. I'll come after Shabbos. After Shabbos, we can't go into Shabbos now. The bachram, we need it fixed now. So I said, listen, you know, I have a curse for the yeshiva. I have a curse for the bachram. Okay, as much as it's going to be hard for me, I'm going to come. He came, he brought his tools. And as he's laying under the toilet trying to fix the pipes, you know, the blue shirt and the blue pants, he had a lot of keys. You came over, and a whole bunch of boys were watching me do the work. The other boys were sitting, were standing quietly and watching. And you opened up your mouth. And you started, I see you have a big keychain on your pants. What does this key go to? And what does that key go to? And what does that key go to? Why do you need so many keys? And what? And yeah, where's your cell phone? And where's your beeper? He started mocking him. Now the plumber said, I knew you were mocking me. But okay, I answered you. I said, this key goes to the house. This key goes to my truck. This key goes to the end. At the end, after all that mocking and making fun, you make a loud announcement to your friends over there, and you say, okay, Bukharim, let's go learn, because if we don't learn, we're going to grow up like this guy fixing toilets. A joke. He said, that comment, I can't be you, Michael, for. You wanted to make fun of me. You wanted to ask me the keys, this and that. I gave up my family time. I gave up my dignity to work in your toilet to make sure that you have what you need. And such a comment to make? Such a comment to make? The person said, I can't believe I said it. I feel terrible. You have to be me, Michael. Please be me, Michael. He said, I can't. How can I be you, Michael? Because I'm sure that just like you said that comment to me, there are many other people that you said such comments to. So he said, there's no such thing as not being able to do tshuva. I need to do tshuva Tell me something that I can do to do tshuva that you're going to be meichel me. So he says, one thing. I need you to get a chavrusa and every day learn 10 minutes musa. A minimum of 10 minutes musa. 10 to 15 minutes every day with a chavrusa. Deal, I'm doing it. He says, no. I want to know who your chavrusa is, and I want to know that both of you are committed that every day to learn 10 to 15 minutes with a chavrusa musa. So he stands there by the hospital bed, and he turns to the family members. Is any of the kids or Einiklich willing to set up the chavrusa with me? They all heard the conversation. And one Einiklich said, yes, I'm willing. So this younger man is now telling over the story to this person that came to ask why he's his role model. He says, for the last 30 years, I haven't missed a day with my chavrusa, this person's Einiklich, learning Musar every single day. It changed my life. It changed the way I look at people. It changed the way I treat people. It changed the way I communicate with people. I see people as a davar chashuv. I see people as kedoshim, heilige things, heilige beings. I'm not going to make fun of anyone anymore. He says the concept of musar cleanses a person to reach them, to make them appreciate who they are, take them to the next level. He says, now that you're coming to ask me why you feel that I'm your role model, I feel that we accomplished the promise that I made to this person's grandfather that I will work on my midas. I will continue working on it. Here you see someone that learned the midas, that learned to be careful about other people, that learned to appreciate other people. And it was noticeable to the people in the shul that this person is an oizga arbiti yid. He worked on himself. He wasn't able to identify why this person. But now you see that somebody that works on his midas, that works on themselves to become a kadosh, that radiates kedusha to others, that others have that feeling, the special feeling about the person. Yesterday I was called into a classroom. I was called. The teacher needed some backup. Some tamidim were having a hard time with self-control. If we can come, he wanted to get the lesson across. He's having a hard time teaching. So I offered to come sit in the classroom. I sat in the back of the room, and I observed what was going on there. It happens to be that I was captivated by the lesson that the teacher was teaching. The topic had to do with gorilla and 10 people, who is stronger, whether the gorilla is stronger or 10 people are stronger. They were working on taking creating a thesis, creating an idea, building an argument on the idea, having the argument, putting in the thesis, a summary. It was a build-up. And yet, the Talmidim evolved in creating. So what do you think? If you would have to come up with a good way, a hook to catch the, what would the hook be? And it was a fascinating lesson. I learned a lot out of it. I came out of it saying to myself, someone that fully comprehends that may have an easier time, $5, understanding a Shtickle Gemara. If you would look at a Shtickle Gemara and try to see, what is the Gemara trying to tell me? What you would understand the flow. You may have an easier time understanding the Gemara in the morning. Not that we need that to understand the Gemara. But if you apply the lessons that he taught and you use that throughout the day, we sharpen our heads. We become deep thinkers. We have an opinion. We have a thought. We can come, we'll come back. It helps us understand the world better. Yet, it was the end of the day. And sometimes he had a hard time with his self-control. Calling out this, calling out that, calling out. We're talking about good Talmidim. We're not talking about struggling Talmidim, good Talmidim. But if you would allow the teacher, that's his job, to help you grow, to help you steig. And it was a very pleasant lesson to listen to. Now again, I don't expect you to have the appreciation to the lesson that I had, because probably when I was your age, I didn't either have that appreciation to the lesson. Today I could appreciate it. But today I can also see what I missed out when I was a Talmud. So it's not coming from help, torturing and saying, you're coming from a certain level of an appreciation that someone is there to teach you, someone is there, even if, let's say, the concept of what he's teaching, even if it wouldn't be in the Geya. But there's a level of Kikadosh Ani. That Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm Halik, Kedoshim Tiyu, elevate yourself. You're in a battle right now. I don't have the Koyach to self-control. Think about it. I am a higher frequency. I am the highest frequency of connection and communication. That's who I am. And if I am that, I will not lower my standards of self-control. I will not lower my standards to disturb a class. I will not lower my standards to create a disturbance to the teacher that's trying to teach a lesson that is going to be helpful for you for life. So again, if you look at the parshiyos, and you look at the sphere, the midas of sphere, the netzach, that we're in a continuous battle, and ultimately the one that wins the battle has a feeling of nitzchias, of a connection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu who is nitzchias, a connection of satisfaction forever. We will be motivated to reach that level of highest level of frequency of Kedusha, which is Zeicha, to reach those levels.